It's Wednesday. It's time for the Wednesday CG Report. Stage 5, just ahead. That and other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I saw a video out of New South Wales, Australia. Guy was standing up there giving a COVID briefing, and it came out just a few days ago on NSW News 9. And here's what he said. And he was saying this with this professional Australian accent and making everything sound like it's tragic. And there's only one tragic part to what he said, actually, and it's at the end of what he said. 141 people in hospital with COVID, 43 in intensive care, with 18 of them on ventilation, 60 under 55, and 28 are under 35. Of the 43 in intensive care, one is in his teens, 7 are in their 20s, 3 are in their 30s, 14 are in their 50s, 12 in their 60s, 6 in their 70s. And he finished up with, of the 141, all but one are vaccinated. From the Epic Times. Before I go on, my friend got down on me for talking only about COVID on the Wednesday report. Well, pretty much everything circles around what's going on with the COVID pandemic right now, and so I've been reporting on it. But to make him happy, I'll add in a couple articles that are not COVID-related, and I will tie them into the general theme of what we're talking about. Okay, from the Epic Times, Florida to dump OSHA for new state regulating authority. And this still has something to do with COVID because obviously OSHA is ramming this vaccine down our throats, but it also has something to do with states' rights. So here we go. Florida's House Speaker Chris Sprouls said if OSHA is going to be weaponized against Floridians, then the state will form its own regulatory agency. Good job. Governor DeSantis held a press conference announcing the upcoming emergency legislative session beginning November 15th would be introducing legislation to protect Florida jobs and protect Florida families. During the conference, Sprouls said he did not like OSHA being weaponized against citizens. Authoritarian edicts from the Biden regime stop here. The Keep Florida Free agenda represents the strongest response in America against attacks on personal health decisions, livelihoods, and liberty. From exploring separation from the Federal Occupational Standards and Health Administration to affirming parents' rightful role to decide whether their child wears a mask or gets a vaccine, a bill sponsored by State Senator Travis Huston and State Representative Ardian Zika will develop a proposal to withdraw from OSHA and will assert state jurisdiction over issues dealing with occupational safety and health in the workplace. The federal government said they would never mandate COVID vaccines, the governor said. They lied about that. It is wrong to treat people like that and deprive industry of the people we need. He said vaccine mandates were unconstitutional and also ignore science. We are going to ensure that people can't be fired because of the jab. We want to put people at ease, that they're not going to get a pink slip. We have got to stop bossing and browbeating people. We are striking a blow for freedom. The House Speaker, Senate President, and Governor's Office work together to draft the legislation that prohibits private employers from mandating COVID-19 vaccines. However, if employers have a vaccine policy, they must have the following exceptions in place. They are to exempt employees with health or religious concerns, pregnant women or women who anticipate pregnancy, and employees who have natural immunity through prior infection. In addition, employers must provide all workers the option to choose between periodic testing or personal protection equipment as alternatives to vaccine requirements at no personal cost to the employee. Testing frequency will be determined by the FDH. Penalties will be enforced through the Attorney General's office after an investigation is completed. If the law has been broken, fines can be handed out. For businesses with fewer than 99 workers, the employer faces a $10,000 penalty per violation. Medium to larger businesses can be fined $50,000 each time the law is broken. Government entities may not require COVID-19 vaccinations of anyone, including employees, according to the proposed legislation. Families are included in the upcoming legislation, where the governor said the parents' Bill of Rights would be strengthened. If you're having a tough time where you are, why don't you think about moving to Florida? That is, if you're on the right side of the aisle, in other words, you're not a liberal, and if you have a modicum of common sense in your head, you are welcome to come to the state of Florida. All right, from the Independent Sentinel. Now, this is a little bit kind of conspiracy theory stuff, and I usually don't like to do that, but this guy has put such narrow time frames in his predictions of what's coming that I thought I'd include this article. And I know this has been sent to me many times, and so most people have probably heard it, but it's still worth repeating for those who have not heard it. So here we go. Ex-Pfizer researcher, we're in phase 4 of tyranny at the gates of hell. Dr. Michael Yeadon is a prominent British scientist and a former Pfizer researcher who also owned and sold his own research company. He is respected in his field, but is now a puzzle to his former colleagues who say they no longer recognize him. And the reason for that is Dr. Yeadon sees the pandemic as planned. He believes it is used to drive us into tyranny worldwide, also known as the Great Reset. He claims there are 6 phases, and we are soon to enter phase 5. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip 1 through 4 because everything he says matches what has happened, and I have no idea when he came up with this analysis. Maybe he made it up now and he's looking back. I haven't really followed this guy like a lot of other people, but he says we are entering phase 5 very soon. So here it is. Phase 5, establish chaos and martial law. That would start in November 2021, and he says it will end by March 2022. Exploit the shortage of goods and food, cause the paralysis of the real economy and the closure of factories and shops. Both of those are happening right now. Let unemployment explode. Apply a third dose to vax boosters. Take up the murder of the living old men. I don't know what that means. You know, maybe it means by vaccinations or something. Impose compulsory vaccination for all. That is happening. Amplify the myth of variants, which is happening, Delta and all these other variants are talking about, the efficacy of the vaccine, and the immunity of the herd. Demonize the anti-vax and hold them responsible for the dead. That is happening, it is continuing on, and we got a couple things coming up on that already. So we can go on. Arrest opposition leaders, probably coming. Impose digital identity on everyone, meaning a QR code. They can't do that to me because I don't have a phone, so they'll have to stamp it to my forehead or my right hand or something. Anyway, birth certificate, identity document, passport, driving license, health insurance card, and so on. Establish martial law to defeat the opposition. If that's true, our governor in Florida is in bad shape. Result, second stage of digital control. Imprisonment or removal of opponents. I can see that happening. Okay, we go into phase 6. Cancel the debts and dematerialize the money. This is from March 2022 through September 2022. So he's less than a year out on his predictions, and that's why I thought I could include this, and we'll just monitor how these things go. Trigger the economic, financial, and stock market collapse. I think that's inevitable anyway, so that's kind of like a prediction that you could just say that's probably going to happen. The bankruptcy of the banks. Well, if the stock market collapses, that's probably a given too. To rescue the losses of the banks in the accounts of their clients, ooh, the great heroes, activate the Great Reset, dematerialize money, cancel debts and loans. I can see that with the losers on the left in our Congress right now. Impose the digital portfolio, meaning a digital wallet, seize properties and land. Before I go on, I'm going to say something. There's something different about the U.S. than all of the other countries out there. Australia willingly gave up their gun rights. You know, all the other nations, most of them do not have gun rights. I know Switzerland does, and there's a couple others that have strong gun rights, but for the most part, they don't. The U.S. does. And if something like this starts coming down the pipe, I can tell you that the U.S. citizenry will stand against this. And maybe that's a part of it anyway. Oh, let America do their own thing and let them collapse by killing each other. Civil war and all that kind of stuff. But I can guarantee you that if this is coming in the next year, there's a lot of guns that are going to be pulled out of a lot of cabinets, and they're going to be used. People are not going to tolerate this. So we'll see the difference between our nation and the other nations, but this is just obvious on the surface. People are not going to take this if it comes. Okay, we'll go on. Ban all global medicines. Confirm the obligation to vaccinate semi-annually or annually. Impose food rationing and a diet based on the Codex Alimentarius. Extend the measures to emerging countries. And as I said, Americans are armed, so we'll see what happens here as opposed to the rest of the world. If this is true, it might just be some nut out there that's doing something, saying something, and hoping that things will happen in the way that he said. I have no idea. Okay, from Zero Hedge, German companies, and these articles, what I just read you, kind of follow along with the theme that I just gave you. Stage 5 is being implemented, and a couple of the things, you know, blame the vaccinated and all that kind of stuff. Here we go. Zero Hedge. This is right now. This is not prediction. This is right now. Zero Hedge. German companies creating segregated canteens for vaccinated and unvaccinated. From the Epic Times, Amazon will no longer require vaccinated U.S. warehouse employees to wear masks at work. USSA News. Colorado's Democrat governor signs executive order to turn away unvaccinated from hospitals. USSA News again. Austria moves closer to imposing lockdown on the unvaccinated. From Breitbart, California town declares itself a constitutional republic to defy Newsom's COVID rules. There you go with that. They want to defy Newsom's rules, which means you're defying Biden's rules, and that will be the start of any of the things that I talked about with America being armed in California and anywhere else where this kind of stuff keeps getting perpetrated. Okay, having said that, I haven't seen the news this morning on Newsom, but you probably know that he got his vaccine shot, what, 10 or 12 days ago, and he has disappeared from the spotlight. And this guy loves the media. He loves to be on everybody's camera. And yet, he has not shown up at anything in the past 10 or 12 days, okay? I read an article yesterday afternoon that said that we're saying this off the record, but he has Guillain-Barré syndrome, the syndrome that you get nerve disorder from taking these vaccines. If that's true, I don't wish him well. I'm sorry if that harms your feelings or offends you in some way. This guy has harmed all of his state for years now, and he is, we'll see what he's going to do with the children here very soon. Actually, it's already started. I don't wish that guy any well at all, but we'll see what happens with him. Okay, from the expose, exclusive, 100% of COVID-19 vaccine deaths were caused by just 5% of the batches produced, according to official government data. It's a great article. It's about this long. It would take an hour and a half just to read it. Look that up. I'll read it again. Go look it up, and he sources everything. He's got links to everything. 100% of COVID-19 vaccine deaths were caused by just 5% of the batches produced, according to official government data. Okay, the data, this is his conclusion down towards the end. The data clearly shows that the COVID-19 vaccination campaign has been significantly more harmful and deadly than the influenza vaccination campaign. He compared influenza vaccinations with the COVID vaccinations, and it isn't just significantly, it's like thousands of times more harmful. We'll go on. This fact alone begs the question as to how the FDA Advisory Committee could possibly vote 17-0 in favor of approving the Pfizer vaccine for use in children aged 5 to 11. One voting member of the Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee admitted that it will not be fully known whether Pfizer's vaccine is safe for 5 to 11-year-old children until it begins being administered. We talked about that a week ago. Okay, now that sounds like a conspiracy from the expose. Another guy was questioning it. He said, I don't believe that. And he went to the VAERS website and he did his own searches. He put the program up on his site so you can use it and you can check yourself. It's all right there on the site. And once again, it's a very long article. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. I'm going to read you his conclusions at the end. But this is from marketticker.org. He titles this, that's not a conspiracy. The only thing all three of these vaccines have in common is that all three of them rely on the human body to produce the spike protein that is then attacked by the immune system and produces antibodies. None of them directly introduce the offending substance into the body like traditional vaccines, okay? The mechanism of induction is different between the J&J and Pfizer and Moderna formulations, but all exhibit the same problem. The differential shown in the data is wildly beyond reasonable explanation related to the cohort dosed and the reported person's average age for the full set of events, not just deaths, does not correlate with the elevated risk in a given lot either. So it is clearly not related to the age of the person jabbed. For example, certain lots all went to nursing homes since they were first. While the highest AE rate lots all have early use dates, so do some of the low AE rate lots. So the attempt to explain the data away as but the highest risk got it first fails as well. In other words, the best fit hypothesis is that causing the body to produce part of a pathogen when that part has a pathological capacity, as we know is the case for the spike, cannot be controlled adequately through commercial manufacturing process at scale. This means that no vector-based, irrespective of how, in other words, viral vector or mRNA, not directly infused coronavirus jab will ever have an acceptable safety profile because some lots will be hot and harm crazy percentages of those they're given to with no way to know in advance. The basic premise used here, to have the body produce the agent the immune system identifies rather than directly introduce it where you can control the quantity, is a failure. The entire premise of calling something that does this a vaccine is bogus, and in the context of a coronavirus, this may never be able to be done safely. And he was a skeptic when he started out checking these numbers. He's convinced that these things need to be stopped right now. That's not going to happen, but he's convinced that they need to be stopped right now. Okay, from Zero Hedge, another guy that seems a little loony, but I'm going to read it anyway because this is his take on these things and he's speaking against his own boss. Here we go. Archbishop Vigano writes a stunning letter on vaccine program. Vigano goes on to, I'm reading a summary of what he had to say here. Vigano goes on to state that the vaccines proving ineffective in preventing people from getting and passing on the virus means that they can't even be called vaccines. In fact, a vaccine is defined as a medicinal preparation aimed at inducing the production of protective antibodies by the organism, conferring special resistance against a specific infectious disease, viral, bacterial, protozoal, etc. The definition was recently changed by the World Health Organization because otherwise it would not have been able to include any COVID drugs which do not induce the production of protective antibodies and do not confer a special resistance against the SARS-CoV-2 infectious disease. The Archbishop went on to assert it was a moral duty to refuse inoculation given what we now know about the vaccine program. The Archbishop expressed his fury at other members of the clergy and the Pope himself for facilitating a crime against humanity. And he follows up with satanic action against God. Vigano pulled no punches in outlining the wider agenda at play. I realize that it may be extremely unpopular to take a position against the so-called vaccines, but as shepherds of the flock of the Lord, we have the duty to denounce the horrible crime that is being carried out, whose goal is to create billions of chronically ill people and to exterminate millions and millions of people based on the infernal ideology of the Great Reset, formulated by the president of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and endorsed by institutions and organizations around the world. That's his take on it. Mail Online. It's the first we've heard about COVID. People that had never heard of it. I hope they do a study on these people in a year and see what's going on. My guess is they'll all be dead. Forgotten Amazon tribes are vaccinated for disease they'd never heard of until Peruvian medical team arrives by boat with shots for everyone. We'll see. I bet you nobody's going to report on that, but I would love to know what's going to happen to those people in months from now or in a year from now. From the expose, this is the UK. 88% of COVID deaths and 77% of hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated in the past month, according to the latest public health data. They keep this fresh. That's the freshest report that they've done. 88% of COVID-19 deaths, 77% of hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated. They source everything. They provide links for everything. From Great Britain News, COVID. Sajid Javid, who's one of the politicians up there that has authority to do things, urges people to get booster jabs to save Christmas. Like, we need to save Christmas by getting a shot that has got 88% of COVID-19 deaths and 77% of hospitalizations in his country because of taking the shot. From the Wall Street Journal, rising COVID-19 breakthrough cases hinder efforts to control virus. People in their 40s show the biggest case rise among UK vaccinated, likely due to their children. That's the Wall Street Journal's take on what's going on over there. Their children are giving them COVID. They have these breakthrough cases by 88% of COVID-19 deaths and 77% of hospitalizations, and the Wall Street Journal blames it on the children. Mail Online, elderly and vulnerable people who are double jabbed have started dying of COVID due to waning immunity, health chief warns. So they need to get boosters is what they're saying. That's not what they need at all. They need to stay away from the boosters. From the Epoch Times, U.S. state with highest vaccination rate reports record 527 COVID-19 cases. We reported on them earlier. I'm reporting on them again now. Vermont, the state with the highest vaccination rate in the United States, matched a record for daily deaths set during last winter's surge and reported a record 527 CCP virus cases on November 4th. From the Gateway Pundit, researchers in peer-reviewed study call for immediate withdrawal of mRNA COVID vaccines for use in pregnancy, those breastfeeding, those of childbearing age, and children. Now, there's a reason why they did this, and they did this study, and the CDC has admitted that they were wrong in this, okay? But they're still pushing this issue. There we go. After reanalyzing a study performed by CDC researchers, a peer-reviewed study has called for the immediate withdrawal of mRNA COVID vaccines for pregnant women, those breastfeeding, those of childbearing age, and children, after their shocking study reveals stunning results of pregnant mRNA vaccinated women. 92% of the women had a spontaneous miscarriage in the first 13 weeks. 92%. You talk about global reduction. If people can't get pregnant and have children, this is how you can do it right there. Well, 81.9% of women who received the mRNA COVID vaccine had a spontaneous miscarriage in the first 20 weeks. We're killing off the human population right now. Right now. Times Colonist. British Columbia doctor clinically diagnoses patient as suffering from, no, not COVID, climate change. This person was suffering and he said it's due to climate change and put it down. That doctor ought to be taken out. And from the New York Post, border officials secretly sent 70 planes of migrants to Florida. DeSantis' office. I reported on them doing this to New York. They're doing it to Florida. Okay, 70 plane loads of people being brought to Florida late at night. Here we go. The U.S. has sent over 70 flights of migrants from the Mexican border to Jacksonville, Florida since the summer. But the Biden administration has not disclosed any information about the clandestine transports. The government Ron DeSantis' office claimed. The alleged flights, which landed in overnight hours, come as officials struggle to deal with overcrowding at border facilities. On average, there's 36 passengers on each of these flights. And that has been going on over the course of the summer through September. Neither the DOJ, DHS, nor DHHS would disclose any info to Florida officials regarding the flights. We're in a sad situation of trying to run an investigation. Who is facilitating this travel? How are they getting here? Who are the support people? Who are the sponsors? Florida officials were aware that Jacksonville, which is along the I-95 corridor, was being used as a staging area for the migrants, who were taken by bus to locations up and down the coast. We don't know definitively or specifically as to why Jacksonville is the chosen place, Keith said, according to the outlet. We're having to watch and observe, in effect, spy on the government to see what it is they're doing in the middle of the night out of these airport facilities. The disclosure comes on the heels of an exclusive Post report that found similar flights full of young migrants arriving in Westchester County Airport under the cover of night. The concern from the Florida State House came after a 24-year-old, listen to this, 24-year-old undocumented immigrant from Honduras who posed as a 17-year-old and gave officials a fake name, killed the Jacksonville man who took him in and gave him a job last month. The victim's daughter said she believed the murder suspect arrived on one of these secret flights. From Fox News, DeSantis. We will end contracts with companies aiding Biden in flooding illegal immigrants into Florida. Governor DeSantis responded to the Biden admin flooding Florida with illegal immigrants. In October, Yuri Noel Medina Ulloa, I guess is how you pronounce it. In October, Yuri Noel Medina Ulloa was arrested in Jacksonville and charged with the murder of Francisco Javier Culier. DeSantis' office called the crime horrific and said that it showed the precariousness of unfettered illegal immigration. The Biden flights operate in the wee hours of the night or at 1 or 2 in the morning. The flights were unannounced and he was given no notice and thus no ability to veto the flights. The feds, of course, control the airspace and they're on the ground. They take these folks and they then send them in other parts of Florida by bus or other parts of the southeast, DeSantis said. The Florida governor plans on fighting the flights despite the fact that the federal government has jurisdiction over the airspace. I love this guy. I love our governor. We're looking at what we can do. I think that they use these private contractors. So what we're looking at now is how we can fight back against the contractors. We can obviously deny them state contracts, which we will do. Can we deny them access to Florida's market generally? Can we tax them? Can we do things to provide disincentives so they can't do it? So we're going to do whatever we can do, he added. But we are going to go after some of these contractors because they are bringing in people that are causing burdens on us and, as we said, tragically caused someone to lose his life. I got a quote for you based on all of what we've been talking about so far from Walt Whitman. Here we go. To the states, or any one of them, or any city of the states. Resist much, obey little. Once unquestioning obedience, once fully enslaved. Once fully enslaved, no nation, state, city of this earth ever afterward resumes its liberty. If we lose our liberty in Florida because of the federal government, we will never get it back. Now, I'm talking to the whole world, whoever's watching this on Rumble, but Florida is a little bastion of sanity right now, and we are going to strive to maintain our liberty. If it means seceding from the Union, which probably isn't legally possible, but if our governor can find a way to do it rather than going through what the federal government is doing to the rest of the nation, I bet you he will try to do it. I will support him fully, whatever it takes to keep our freedoms. Texas will do the same. Texas is a great state with a great governor, and he will do the same. There's a couple other good governors out there, and they are the only thing that is standing between the federal government and complete disaster for the citizens of this nation. And this country is right now maintaining the whole world. I mean, if we implode, the rest of the world's going to implode too. That's the way it goes. We got some companies in China right now that are about to default, and if they do, the whole world will default because it's all one giant system. But we need to be ready for what's going on, and we need to stand for our liberty and cut ourselves off from the pig that we've been feeding on, if necessary. From American Military News, FBI investigating 2,700 cases of illegal immigration? No, domestic terrorism. The FBI has 2,700 active investigations into the alleged domestic terrorism, which amounts to more than twice the typical number of cases, counterterrorism officials said last week. The report comes amid growing concerns that the Biden admin's focus on domestic terrorism is politically motivated. There is no doubt about that. We can have no doubt in our minds that that is true. Representative Rick Crawford, Republican from Arkansas, said the Counterterrorism and Counterintel panel of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intel is concerned that the FBI, CIA, and NSA could all be turned inward toward U.S. citizens without a foreign nexus. You have people that are ramping up the rhetoric on domestic violent terrorism to sort of make the case for and essentially justify the misuse, potentially, of intelligence assets that are specifically authorized for foreign threats. In September, FBI Director Christopher Wray told the Senate Homeland Security Committee that the Bureau was forced to increase personnel by 260% in order to manage the skyrocketing domestic terrorism caseload. What a load of hooey, which had grown to 2,700 cases. The domestic violent extremists bucket had been going up quite significantly over the past few years, which is why we're now at 2,700 domestic terrorism investigations, when if you went back 2.5 years ago, we're probably more about 1,000. So it's been a really significant jump there. What they need to do is investigate Antifa and all of these left-wing radicals that are burning down buildings, destroying people's lives, and stop harassing decent U.S. citizens that go and protest that their schools are being, the children in their schools are being taught a bunch of perversion. That's what needs to happen. From the Gateway Pundit, disturbing Pfizer ad tells kids they'll get superpowers from their COVID jab. More children, I'm going to tell you something, they're going to get dead from their COVID jabs. Not all of them, but there's going to be children that are harmed by these things. More children in Chicago have been shot this year than died from the coronavirus across the country. But Pfizer sees a new market potential of 1 billion humans for their experimental product, and they're going for it. Experimental because not one vial has been approved by the FDA that has been injected into somebody's arm. Yes, they have on paper an approved vaccine, but it's never been used. It is experimental, and it is being injected into the children of the world. From the Gateway Pundit, CNN and Sesame Street team up to push vaccine propaganda for very young children. LifeSite, Ontario politician demands police investigate spike in youths dying after COVID jab. This guy's going to be taken out behind the chemical shed and shot. That's what's going to happen to him, the poor guy. He's opening his mouth in Ontario. A prominent Ontario politician urged the provincial police commissioner to investigate the rash of deaths among young people following COVID shots. MPP Randy Hillier wrote a letter to the commissioner, Thomas Carrick, requesting an investigation to look into the sudden and unexplained deaths of a series of four young Ontarians who died shortly after receiving the experimental COVID-19 injections. I am obligated to bring to your attention a series of tragic deaths and injuries of otherwise healthy individuals throughout the province of Ontario that have occurred under questionable circumstances in recent months. These tragedies have a common thread of being sudden in nature in individuals as young as 14 years old, a demographic that ought not to be experiencing such sudden deaths. The increasing prevalence of these deaths is cause for great concern that may merit further investigation on the grounds of criminal negligence and culpable homicide, continued Hillier. Hillier's letter makes mention of four young deaths in the province that have been widely publicized in recent months. A 17-year-old boy in Beaton, Ontario, a senior at Queen's University in Kingston, an 18-year-old Queen's freshman, and a 25-year-old football player and engineering student at the University of Ottawa. Hillier went on to reference the Criminal Code of Canada, which defines criminal negligence as doing anything or admitting to do anything that is his duty to do that shows a reckless disregard for the lives or safety of other persons. To knowingly continue to allow unexplained deaths without investigation is nothing short of criminal negligence by omission and deception. It is becoming increasingly clear that these vaccine products are neither as safe nor effective as advertised by governments and the media, nor were they necessary, wrote the MPP. Poor guy is probably going to disappear. From the expose, children are dying at a rate 62% higher than the 5-year average since they began to be given the COVID-19 vaccine. Once again, this is in the UK. On September 13th, 2021, four chief medical officers of the United Kingdom advised the UK government to offer the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to all children over the age of 12. This was despite the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization previously stating they could not support universal vaccination of children. Is it just a coincidence that deaths among children have since increased by 62% against the five-year average? They have all the facts, all the links, all the data that you can go and see yourself. Mail online. Vaccine mandate for kids. San Francisco will force children as young as five to show proof of vaccination to enter indoor venues like restaurants and gives parents a two-month deadline. Somebody isn't paying attention, or they are paying attention and they have agenda. I don't know which it is over there. LifeSite, Ben Carson, remember him? Great guy. Ben Carson tells Fox News kids should absolutely not get COVID shots. It's a giant experiment, he says. Epic Times, CDC director refuses to tell senators how many CDC employees have gotten COVID-19 vaccines. Probably none of them have. Breitbart, Ron DeSantis, Florida will not host state-run vaccine sites for children. Good job, Governor DeSantis. From USSA News, my government lied to me. Dad details teen son's death from myocarditis following vaccine. Mail online. Now de Blasio bribes kids. New York City will pay children between the ages of 11 and 5 $100 each to get the COVID vaccine as city-run sites start giving the shot. Now think of it. The CDC will not admit that they've gotten this experimental vaccine. Not one of them will admit it. And they're pumping this into children, an experimental vaccine that's been proven harmful. From Kanekoa, world-class athletes suffer vaccine injuries. Did you know that a Brazilian jiu-jitsu world champion, two Olympic gold medalists, an NBA point guard, and the world's top static breath holder free diver have all suffered COVID-19 vaccine injuries? From the Gateway Pundit, 24-year-old hockey star Boris Sadecki dies after collapsing on ice in cardiac arrest last Friday. LifeSite, 11 doctors injured by COVID shot go public, urge the CDC and FDA to acknowledge vaccine risks. That will never happen, but I'm glad they're going public. From Zero Hedge, Italian Institute of Health drastically reduces its official COVID death toll numbers. Remember, it was Italy that got all this started. All these people dying of COVID, and we've got to save the world right now. They've reduced the number. Listen to this. The Italian Higher Institute of Health has drastically reduced the country's official COVID death toll number over 97% after changing the definition of a fatality to someone who died from COVID rather than with COVID. Italian newspaper Il Tempo reports that the institute has revised downward the number of people who have died from COVID rather than with COVID from 130,000, the whole world's going to end, we need to do this right now, to under 4,000. Yes, that's right. Turns out 97.1% of deaths hitherto attributed to COVID were not due directly to COVID. I wonder if the U.S. is going to follow suit. I doubt it. Fox, Manchin. You know, he's a lefty, but he is the only thing that saved us from a lot of grief in the past couple months. I wish that he would just make the step over the aisle and do what's necessary. But Manchin, U.S. has already spent more on COVID-19 than it did on World War II. And he adjusted the numbers for World War II and today's date so you can get a comparable figure. We've spent more on this stupid plandemic than on all of World War II. Epic Times. Here you go. Gun sales continue climbing as 2021 set to eclipse every year but one. Gun sales in 2021 are close to being higher than any year but one with 2 months left to go. Over 1.4 million background checks were carried out by the FBI for gun sales in October alone. Background checks for gun sales continue to be strong and steadily rising. This continued and sustained pace of background checks for the sale of a firearm that is climbing in the closing months of 2021 shows the resiliency of the firearm manufacturers to meet this sustained high-level demand and the personal interest by the American public. You wonder? to participate in the exercise of their God-given Second Amendment rights. The annual total gun permit checks completed year to date is now nearly 15.2 million. The total in 2016 was 15. Experts say the jump in gun sales last year stemmed in part from people in fear of rising crime, or maybe something else. National File. UK's Prince Charles calls for vast military-style campaign by elites to achieve global fundamental economic transition. The UK's Prince Charles called for a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector, using the trillions at its disposal far beyond global GDP, to fundamental economic transition during a climate change. My plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required, Charles declared. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here, we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector, with trillions at its disposal far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect beyond even the governments of the world's leaders. It offers the only prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. And he's doing this during the climate change meetings. You wonder if he's got a different agenda going on and using the climate for that? Mail Online. We've been talking about some difficult subjects today. I've got a really difficult subject. What would you do if you were faced with this? And think about what this man did to save another person. California Zipline employee sacrifices himself to save woman stranded in the middle of a ride. He took his thing and he let go. He dropped 100 feet to his death rather than let them both fall under their combined weight. Would you be willing to do that for somebody else? We've got people that are actively killing human beings with injections right now. We've got a world that's imploding around us. And this guy was willing to give his life up to save a woman that he didn't know, so that she could continue to have life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What he did was noble, but what God did was beyond incredible. God sent his Son into the world to do exactly that for us, to give his life for our sins, because it's our sin which separates us from God. That's what does it. And we're in the stream of time. We were born in sin. Our first father sinned, and we inherited it from him. And ever since we were born, we've been sinning. If you don't believe me, if you're not a parent, go ask a parent. Did you have to teach the children to do wrong? No, you don't. You have to teach them to do right. We're born with this infection called sin, and it eternally separates us from an infinitely holy creator. And so in order to repair that situation, God sent Jesus Christ, the perfect man, into the world. He didn't inherit Adam's sin because he had no human father. His father is God. He's the perfect man. He's without any sin in his birth. And he was born under the law of Moses, the standard of God that we must set in order to attain perfection. The law says the man who does these things will live by them. Well, Christ came born under that law, and he did the things of the law. That's what the Gospels are there for, is to record his perfect life and to show that he never violated the will of his Father. And then he gave his life up in exchange for the sins of the people of the world. The perfect man was able to take all of the sin of the world upon himself. And he died, and he went into the grave. And when he came out of the grave, he left our sin behind in the grave. He came out proving that he is God and proving that he had no sin, because the wages of sin is death. If he had sinned, he would still be in the grave to this day. But this is the marvel of what God did for us. We have this man that was willing to give up his own life to save one person. Jesus Christ came into the world to save the whole world if they will simply believe. That's all that God asks of you. He doesn't ask you to give money to a church. He doesn't ask you to listen to long, boring sermons. I would hope you'd come and listen to the sermons at the Superior Word, but he doesn't ask you to do that. He simply asks you to have faith, to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And if you believe that, the Bible says that you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit as a promise and as a guarantee of the future redemption. to stand in the presence of God for all eternity, seeing his wisdom and his glory forever and forever and forever. Please call on the name of Jesus today. This world holds nothing for us. There is nothing good left here. But Jesus Christ offers us so much more. Call on Jesus and be reconciled to God through him. So, such is the world in which we live. And so, from Sarasota, Florida, to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and everywhere else in between, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Wednesday CG Report.